This is Actualize Freedom, straight talk on growing clicks and conversions on Amazon FBA from people doing it every day. Now here's your host, digital marketing acrobat, Danny Kenji Carlson.
What's up, guys? Danny Carlson here, and today I have someone on here who I have wanted to talk to you for a very long time. I've seen this face pop up around Facebook groups for years of this very angry-looking face. And often with a very vocal opinion in all these Facebook groups. So it's really good to actually talk to you, this angry looking face. And he's not as angry in real life as he is in his Facebook profile picture, as it turns out. So really good to have you on here, Sean. Maybe you want to start out just by introducing yourself a little bit about your history when it comes to Amazon, because you've been around for a long time and you have a lot of things going on for sure.
Yeah, we've certainly evolved, like, big time. You know, we started almost 6 years ago now, I think, 2014 April. So what is that? That's 5 years, going on 6 years here soon. And we started, just like anybody else, trying to just figure out how to sell some stuff on this Amazon platform. Got into RA for a little bit. We did that for maybe about a month. And I had, like, a cart full of, like, Hello Kitty stuff. And I'm like, there's just got to be a better way to do this thing, you know. And Becky, my partner in, you know, life and also business, she worked for a company that was purchasing things from overseas, branding them for Wells Fargo, McDonald's, you know, all these big corporations. And my mind was like, well, why can't we just do that on Amazon? I didn't even know really what private label was at that point. You know, it was just the concept of how we can just sell on Amazon. So that's what we did. Found out about these groups because I started having questions. Realized I this is the egotistical part. I realized I knew way more than what they do on the answers. And then that gravitated into an environment where people started coming to me for questions. And then, you know, away it went from there. In terms of the evolution of our business, we launched the private label products. We were in waterproof Bluetooth speakers for a while. We were doing kitchen stuff for a while. We hopped over to sex toys for a real short period of time. That was wild on many counts. And then from there, then we settled into, instead of like trying to make more products to sell than other people had, we went into the phase where we started creating. And that was a big focal point. So now we look to create, innovate, bring new products to market, and a million other things in between. I don't know. I'm so far removed from even being called an Amazon seller now that I feel, where it's like just one aspect of what we do, but still largely responsible for this whole aura of what I do for a living.
Right. So you have a lot of different systems, and you have, you know, a team of about a dozen people in the Philippines from the sound of it, and different team members for all of the different projects that you work on. It's the only way you can actually get everything done, right? So tell us a bit about your mindset when it comes to building these systems and hiring these people so that you can do that. Otherwise, I'm sure you would need 40 hours a day to get everything you need to get done. What is your mindset when it comes to creating systems and hiring?
So my mindset in general, when I know it's time for me to automate, I always look at what it is that I'm doing and I think how much I want to get paid. Like how much me as an owner want to get paid. And then from there, I say, would I pay someone else to do that task at that level? Would I pay somebody $200 an hour to check Seller Central reports? You know, would I pay someone $200 an hour to open a case? You know, any of that stuff. And the answer is unequivocally no every single time. And as a result of that, that means that that's not a job that I should be doing in my business, that my time is better spent elsewhere. So that's what I immediately look to do. I immediately look to take that task and hand it off to somebody else. Now from there, a lot of times when people are looking at scale and all that stuff, they create a lot of like SOPs, right? All these different procedures of step by step by step. I don't function so much that way. I'll tell my staff what they need to know to the aspects of that let's not get suspended, right? But everything that they need to know is on Seller Central. Everything that they need to know really is out there on the internet. If there's some course that they need to get, we'll get them the course and all that other stuff. So I educate them really internally, which then empowers them to solve a lot of the problems on their own. So the only time, all I do all day long is handle and solve the problems that finally escalated their way up to me, as opposed to just minor stuff along the way, like somebody, for instance, with returns. the result is, let's just make the customer happy. So you don't, now you, anytime an email comes in, you don't have to ask me what we need to do. You just need to think, how can we make the customer happy? So if we can just continue to apply these methodologies to our staff, they're able to just think way more on their own, as opposed to having to look at a chart and decide how to talk to somebody or communicate with somebody, or what decision that they need to make based on what parameter.
Yeah, and that certainly makes a lot of sense. But I bet a lot of listeners here, they would love to have their staff have that mindset of figuring things out on their own, but they still find them coming back to them with all these questions, right? So, like, how do you instill that in your team members, that it's okay to be, to figure out these things and maybe make some mistakes doing it, as long as they are getting things done without coming back to you all the time?
Yeah. Just in the basic communication. So if they come to me with a problem, I say, how would you handle that? I just put it right back to them. And 99 out of 100 times, they're probably going to say something that's not going to destroy the business. You know, that's, it's actually a reasonable solution. Now, if it needs to be peppered, you know, where I need to add a little bit something to it, I'm like, hey, that's a great idea. And you know what else we could do? This as well. You know, so I let them run off with it. And then they finally get to a point where they just don't need to come at me with it anymore. I say, hey, I trust you. You know what you're doing. You know, and there's, because there's really nothing that we do that's nothing. I mean, there are certain aspects that truly need to be step one, step two, step three, so you don't press a button and delete your entire account or something like that. But just for the basics of just problem solving in business, it's you have to be able to pass that on to somebody that, you know, you need. I look to scale, like my thought process, you know, as opposed to scaling my individual actions, because you can't do what I do. I walk around my bedroom, smoke weed all day. You know, I can't say do that and you'll be a success. It's really my mind frame, my mindset. That's the thing that I can pass on, and I want that to permeate throughout my entire business. You know, we're getting ready. I went downstairs. I live in a 3-story home. I'm on the 3rd story right now. The other 2 stories look about the same. The first 2 stories are all business. So I go downstairs. This is like 2.5 years ago or whatever. And Amy's one of our full-time staff. There's all this wood. She's hammering and sawing. And I'm like, what's this? And she's like, well, we needed a prep table, and they didn't really have anything at the store that was really what I needed. So I just went and bought wood, and she made a second prep table. And of course, like, I'm not mad at that. Yeah, it was my money, but it made her job easier. So a lot of times, even then too, when I have a process and I hand it off to somebody, I'm going to say, here's how I did it and why I did it. But if you can figure out a better way to do it, just, you know, God bless, you know, let's run with it that way then. And they have that type of autonomy, you know? So it's just stuff like that, man. Just handing that thought process onto them that it's okay to fuck up. Yeah.
I love that. And super important, or else you become the center point of all of the decisions of your entire business, right? You're like, I love the analogy of the octopus with 16 arms. That, you know, all these arms are your team members and employees, but at the end of the day, you are the one brain that is making these decisions and, you know, is checking everything.
Absolutely. Yep.
And Sean, you have a very interesting view on mindset and how important that is in being successful in business. So maybe dive into, like, what do you think are the core mindset things that people need to have sorted out in order to be successful with their business?
Goals. Most people have no concept or clue on how to actually set an effective goal. You know, they usually define it around what they want to, like, it's like their milestones. Like, oh, I want to be an Amazon seller. Well, that's a good goal. Oh, I want to be a 7-figure seller. Ooh, that's a really good goal. And these are really, in my opinion, these are just milestones along the way. Because once you get there, why did you get there? What now that you have that, what was that intention? And that's your real goal. You know, like when you're running a marathon, I mean, Danny, I saw you today on Facebook doing some crazy shit skateboarding. That you didn't just hop in there and do that, right? That you probably hurt yourself a lot in that process, right? Figure out how to be able to do all that stuff. But you're going for what? The elation of the adrenaline, this and that. There was some goal that you're able to achieve. And that's why a lot of times guys that are high on adrenaline junkies just kick your ass in business, because they just take charge and they're not afraid that where other people are really afraid, you know. And that's a goal. They're going after that feeling, right? So it's like when you're establishing a goal, and I'll describe how I set my goal. I wanted for myself at the end of the day, after all this bullshit that I've done throughout my entire life, you know, at the end of the day, I wanted to be able to wake up and just do what I wanted to do. Not anything I could do, just anything I want to do. And it turns out I'm a pretty regular guy. I just want to eat, travel a little bit. And I had a really hard time quantifying that, you know, without buying any material things, you know, just clothes on my back and a little bit of weed, you know, Becky, right? Without, you know, how do we go about living our day? And we had a hard time spending $1,000. So then I said, okay, if I had $1,000 every single day, that's some days I'm only going to spend 200 and then I have extra money for later on. It was more than enough money. And to quantify that, I wanted to make sure that I had an asset that would guarantee me that. And the only thing I know that could do that is an annuity, is an annuity from a life insurance company that can guarantee me income for life. So that became my goal. So I figured out I needed $10 million to approximately get about $1,000 every day for the rest of my life. So now that I have that goal in mind, every decision that I make is conducive to that. So when I start a new brand, I'm not just trying to make a few extra sales so I can pad my sales numbers to show off to everybody. That is like, hey, how can I take this and be able to scale, right? I need to be able to sell my business at some point. So knowing that, because no one's just going to come up to me and just give me $10 million. I have to be able to give them something of equatable value. So every layer of my business that I build is built with that in mind. And that's why we are very white hat. We don't do black hat tactics or anything like that, because I'm not going to sell my business to a guy and say, oh, hey, for you to continue working at this, you're going to have to do this, 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 this. It's a little crazy. It involves the Chinese, you know, but hey, that's how, you know, there's way too much liability, you know, in that process. And I think for the average person, if they set a reasonable goal as to what it is that they want, that's inevitably going to be able to change their thought process. And I focus that on three areas, you know, like finances, you know, like to get your money right, you know, get your health right, and get, you know, and get your mind right. And the only one of those three, between healthy, wealthy, and wise, the only three that we can solve permanently in our lifetime is the wealth. We can obtain enough money to never have to worry about money, but you always have to work on your health, and you always have to work on your mind, or else, you know, I mean, this is how the world works, or else you just freeze in time and you're no longer become of any particular type of value, you know. So goal setting better goals, you know. I think a lot of times people don't know how to solve problems because they make too emotional of a problem. They get a negative review and their initial instinct is like, oh my God, it's not because of me, it's because of a competitor, it's because the China is doing some campaign or whatever, and how can I spend all this time, energy, and effort to get rid of this one review, when maybe you just look at the review and maybe you recognize that it could be an actual issue that you existingly have. And if another one comes in, okay, maybe it's an opportunity for you to be able to add value. So a lot of times people make emotional decisions to solve business problems when that really needs to be flipped around. They need to be looking at it like, what's the business problem I need to solve to eliminate this emotion? And if that emotion is fear, because, you know, you get these negative reviews, well, the root of the problem is the reason behind that negative review. And it could very well be, and it most likely is, a defective or a deficiency in the product, which then creates that, now that person making these decisions, an opportunity to be able to add enhanced value, taking their criticism and providing better value. And most people don't even want to think that way, because then they feel like they're a failure or something like that. So.
Yeah, you touched on something I think is so, so important there, which is just having a really level-headed mental space so that you're not making really poor emotional decisions in your business. Yeah. I personally think that is maybe the number one most important skill set that you can have as a business owner, is just being able to weather the mental storms that are going to be thrown at you as a business owner, right? If you're constantly, everything that happens in your business, you are just freaking out about it, you're going to be making really poor decisions all the time, right? It's not like this happens once in a while. This kind of stuff will happen all the time, especially if this is your first business or your second business. Like, you're absolutely going to be making tons of big mistakes that are going to be expensive and very stressful, right? So maybe you can give us some tips into, you know, how to build and maintain that mental fortitude.
Well, the big thing is recognizing that. I think a lot of times when people hear me talk about that, they think that they need to somehow be robotic. That, Sean, I'm not like you, I can't turn off my emotions. And I'm like, look, I don't turn off my emotions. I cry probably a lot. Like this probably every single day I cry about something. Maybe I'm going to the bathroom in the bath, taking a bath, thinking about my kids. I allow myself to express what it is that I need to like express. So if I'm angry, I'm allowed to be angry, but that doesn't justify my actions now. So now I have to think, why am I angry? What are the reasons behind my anger? And then I start deconstructing that, so then that way I can be able to manage it a heck of a lot better. So I use my thought process against my own self. That, you know, so then that way I can regulate these feelings as they come into, and I'm able to make that separation. And as a result of that, sometimes that's helped me make very valued business decisions that might have looked like it was initially going against the grain, but it was ultimately the right decision to make. I just didn't need to have the confrontation of the emotions behind it. We could have all the emotions that we need after the fact, right? Like if you gotta say, quit your brand, you know, that's an emotional thing. You might have invested like 15,000 into it. Every time you're looking month over month over month, the numbers are just not working out. You keep sinking a lot of money into it and you have all this emotion tied into it, but maybe the best thing for you to do is just chop it off, recover what you can. Maybe you only got 5,000 out of it. Well, then guess what? You can start something new with that $5,000. You didn't actually lose, but you can't even make those decisions if you're so hung up in the emotions of it. And the emotions are always just temporary, man. You know what I mean? Like if I get punched in the face right now, I'm having a bad day. I'm not having a bad life because I got punched in the face. I'm having like a bad 5 minutes and a reflection of why the hell did I just get punched in the face? And that's why if you can recognize that from an emotional standpoint, you can then say, wait a minute, let's not make this decision right now. Let me just at least calm down, get through my thoughts, get through my anger, and then I can handle that. And that's why a lot of times I come off as incredibly callous to people, you know, because I just don't have time to sit there and pepper all these words that they want to hear. If they're doing something wrong, they absolutely need to know it. If they don't have the mindset that's built on success, they absolutely need to know it. And if they don't like me after that fact, I'm okay with that, because at the end of the day, I know my intentions were still good. And now it's up for them to be able to manage their emotions and not me to be able to manage their emotions. That doesn't mean I go out intentionally pissing people off, but in this world, I'm going to be me and people are going to accept me, and I'm not going to change who I am to get more people to accept me. And that's, how is that not a great thing?
But. Yeah, that's authenticity right there. And so when it comes to calming down and staying level-headed and stuff like that, do you think that's something that comes with time and the more experience that you have with these kind of things in business, or are there any specific tactics that you have for doing that for yourself?
I smoke a lot of weed, like a lot, you know, CBD as well. I mean, I literally smoked up just before this call right now. I mean, it's I don't do it to get high. I do it to just control my emotional state. You know, because I'm on a average day, totally sober. I'm high. I'm high strung, man. I'm running. I'm going around, and I use things to just keep me on a level keel. So yeah, I smoke a ton of THC, CBD. I meditate. For a while I was getting into float tanks. I probably need to get back into that. You know, I'm always willing to look at different hacks of my body. I started doing a lot more push-ups and exercising. You know, because I just want to be able to get to that, you know, I got to get to that Danny Carlson body, man. I can't pick up my girlfriend and flip her over my head 5 times. You know what I mean? I'm not there yet, man. You know what I mean?
Well, it's pretty fun, man. It's pretty fun. I mean, my girlfriend's coming here to me in Singapore. I'm in Singapore right now, and we're doing this acrobatic training for 4 days where I'm going to learn some new ways to flip her around over my head 5 times.
I watch that. I'm like, this guy, man, just flips girls around. That's why you're like at some restaurant or whatever. Just stand on me. Yeah. Oh my God, that's great. That is great. I would learn that talent just to only do that. Just like in random places. Just like, oh, let me just pick you up with one hand and just walk you around the mall, you know, or just something ridiculous.
Well, yeah, I mean, actually that serves, like standing acrobatics and acro yoga serves as such a good release for me. I make sure to fit that into my daily schedule of I go and I work out at the gym and I get my good exercise, not specifically because it's a fun thing to do like that as well, but specifically I make sure I do it like it's my job, because I know that it is going to help me perform better. If I don't do those things on a daily basis, then my mindset is going to be a little bit less focused. It's going to be a little bit more inclined to get pulled away into all these crazy emotional states and everything like that when something bad goes wrong and something doesn't go according to plan. So, like, I go to the gym and go in the sauna and go in the ice bath and all that stuff like it's my job, because I think it is my job.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, when you have a goal, the pain is inevitable, but you have to have that pain. And when you don't have a clearly defined goal, people don't want that pain. They want it easy. You know, I mean, you're in a similar space than me. You know, it's like, you know, it's like in terms of like providing education to sellers and stuff like that, you know, that there's a percentage of people that just aren't, you know, they just want it easy. They just hop around, go from the next thing to the next thing. And it's like that you just gotta, at some point, you just gotta put in the work, man. It's gotta suck for it. But the you can appreciate the suck, because then you start seeing the result. And then when you start seeing the result, then you want the suck. Then you're addicted to the suck, because you know the result. That's why people drink hard alcohol. There's nothing good there's nothing tasty about gin. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing tasty about that, but you know that it gets you to a certain state. So therefore you're willing to tolerate that. And of all the horrible things, maybe your taste is just better aligned to gin or whiskey or whatever it is, you know, but nonetheless, it's still pain to get you to your goal.
This podcast is brought to you by Kenji ROI, a complete done-for-you service for your Amazon listing creation and optimization. Everything from product photography, including lifestyle images with a real model, graphic design images and studio images, to the copywriting and keyword optimization, to videos and enhanced brand content if you're lucky enough to have brand registry. We also manage marketing when it comes to Amazon ads. And also, for some bigger sellers out there who might be interested in building a messenger list, we offer services creating the ManyChat funnels to follow up with customers for more reviews, to help build your own audience so you can launch new products, to help rank for new keywords. And there is Facebook ad management built into that as well for the right sellers. So if you want to learn more about Kenji ROI, head to KENJIROI.com. That is actually my middle name, Kenji, with the ROI added onto the end. Oh, yeah. And speaking of getting shit done, another thing I know that you have a very well-developed opinion on is efficiency and just how to get shit done really well. Yeah. So what are your tips on being super efficient when building your business?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that really comes down to everything. Like, everything I'm doing, I always have to have what is it intended for? Like, what are we talking about? What is this for? You know, because that can string me along from a lot of idle conversations. That's why I don't get it's. You know, I know people think I'm really controversial. I start a lot of arguments and fights, but actually, I don't. I say my piece. They say their piece. I say my piece, and then I block them out of their life. And then that's when, people can't handle it. You know, when I've just like hit the block button. There's like groups of people that still commiserate to this day. You know, like years later, they just can't handle that I've removed them from my world. Going back to the question was on mindset, the efficiencies, the thought processes I have. Well, one, I think about, am I happy doing this or is it making me great? Those are two things that I think about, because things that are making me great, it's not necessarily that making me happy, because like if I have to do push-ups, like I'm not doing that for fun. I'm doing that for a particular type of result, which is making me great. You know, and if it's not those two things, I just don't do it at all. Someone else can do it. You know, I don't mow the lawn, you know. Like, if the lawn is, I don't mow it. I'm like, call a guy. Let's call a guy. I don't clean. Like, why would I clean? I don't make any money cleaning. Nobody's paying me money to clean, so someone else can clean. And if nobody else in the house wants to clean, okay, let's hire a cleaner. You know, so I don't wash my car. Like, why would I wash my, I don't make money washing my car. I don't have a better relationship washing my car. I don't get wiser washing my car. Now, some people are into cars, that could be their own zen, but for me, that ain't those things. So anything that doesn't fit my goals for my wealth, my health, and, you know, just my mind, I refuse to do. And if it's still on that list of things that have to get done, well, then someone else can do it. And there's millions of people that would be happy to do that for a few dollars an hour, you know, and that's fine by me. You know, I don't even set my own dentist appointment. Like, why would I do that?
That's super abundantly clear. Like, I personally live in Bali, and the cost of getting all this stuff done in Bali is so cheap that it really puts it in perspective. Like, you would be paying yourself less than $2 an hour to do a lot of this stuff. And food, like good, healthy, delicious food at restaurants is like $5 American for, you know, a good quality Western healthy meal with all the, you know, trendy ingredients, avocado and all that stuff. So like, why would you spend the time to go to the grocery store and cook yourself, especially for someone like me who doesn't like cooking? It takes energy. It takes away. It's something I don't enjoy. And it takes time that it could be going to the gym and improving my mental headspace. I could be working on my business and that kind of stuff. And so looking at this not as like money saved, but as like, how can I create more time and create more energy, conserve more energy to then focus on growing my business, the thing that actually will create some money, instead of saving that $5 for my lunch every day by using all of this energy and doing something I don't like to do.
You're not really saving. The investment's not there, because like when you quantify your value per hour, you know, like whatever it is that you feel that you make per hour, that you should earn per hour, that really helps you decide what's worth doing and not doing. Like, I don't grocery shop. Like, why would I grocery shop? You know, like, why? And there's people that do, and then they're like, oh, wait, you're too good to grocery shop? There was one time I had a flat tire. And people are like, you know, and I remember I posted on Facebook that I was like, oh, I got a flat tire, calling AAA. And all these dudes, all these guys, bravado guys, oh man, be a man. Just change your own tire. And I'm like, why? I just went inside of the chicken restaurant, ate some chicken, got on my phone, did some work. And I was more productive during that time than if I was to try to be a man and change my own tire in the snow, which is something I clearly didn't want to know. But if that was my, and I get it. I get why people cling to that, because they need to have those minute bravados. They can't otherwise have their own success. So they have to cling to Aaron Rodgers' success. They have to, you know, be able to chug 6 beers to show some manly win or whatever it is. And I'm just not, I can't even relate on that level, like at all. It's like everything I do is for a purpose. Everything I've done brought me here. So knowing that, like literally knowing that everything I've ever done has brought me here, it's indicative that every decision I make actually matters, because there's going to be a future me that also is going to be like, I arrived here, and I would rather steer that direction as best as I can. I know it's not all my call. You know, God's going to throw shit at me left and right, but at least I'm going in the right direction instead of just showing up. You know, I don't want to just show up anywhere, like ever, unless there's good food, then I'll show up.
I agree with you there, brother. And when it comes to like efficiency management or task management methodologies or anything, do you have anything that really helps keep you focused? You know, that maybe that's like mindset things or actual systems that you have for that?
Yeah. So I always think about what's going to have the greatest impact later. You know, not what I want to do, not what feels good, not what's easy, because my mind always wants to do the easiest thing. You know, because that's just how everybody works. So it's like, let me just knock out these little tasks and then deal with the big task, the thing I didn't want. But I always think, okay, what's going to have the greatest impact later? Like right now I'm developing a board game, right? So like there's a lot of work involved with that. We're getting ready to get this Kickstarter going. We have like a couple $100,000 that we're playing around with. A lot of huge decisions are being made on that. But I also have other businesses that are running around. Like, you know, I just had a call with a guy who wants to do some sourcing, and it's a venture that we'll absolutely can do. But when it comes time, when I wake up in the morning and I have to dedicate my day to a task, it's going to be the one that's going to give me that $100 million business and not just a little bit more income. You know, so I'll take care of that need first, and then I'll go from there. I do the same thing from a personal perspective. When I have two different personal tasks, I think what's going to have the greatest impact for me long term, not what I want to do, but what's going to have the greatest impact for me. And for me, you know, it's like having good, solid relationships.
So I do love that. I want to dive deeper into what you said about choosing the thing that is going to have the most impact on your business later on. So is that something that you, every morning or every evening, you'll kind of just sit and look at the shit that needs to get done, and you will just think about it with that frame over top of those tasks and just use that?
That's what I was getting at, even with my personal life, because my goal is to be like happy. So I'll be thinking about, you know, like if I want to watch, am I going to watch, do something with my kids? Oh, that's MBS. There's a trip to MBS in Costa Rica, right? But my kids just started a new school. I want to be there for my kids. I have my kids half the time. So it's like, I would rather have spent that time with my kids. And that, because long term, one of my goals is I want my kids to just think their dad is the greatest hero ever. You know, so it's like, that matters. Like, a decision like that matters. Everyone's like, oh man, you should come. You should just ditch the kids. I'm like, no, I don't want to ditch the kids. Because long term, you're not conducive to my goal. When I'm dying on my deathbed, like, I'm not going to be like, man, I'm glad that Costa Rica trip. I want my kids and my grandkids and my great-grandkids, my great-great-grandkids, and Elon Musk's brain teletransporter ready for me to be exported into the next realm. That's the type of thing I want. So when I wake up every day, the night before, I look at all the things that I have to do. All the things that have to get done that are like tasked to me. And then I go through there and I delegate most of it. Most of it gets delegated. I'll fire off messages to an assistant here, somebody there, you know, staff, partners. I do as much as I can to push as much work as I can to other people, because my skill set is problem solving. And if I have all this other shit in my head, I can't do it. So I get rid of all the things that can keep me the most focused. And a lot of times people even forget about the small tasks. You don't just check the mail. That's like a 15-minute operation, because it stops you from what you're doing. You're going off and doing whatever. You're fucking around. Maybe you go pee one more time, finally get to the mail, come back. And that's like a huge mind suck. You waste 5 minutes in a given day, you've lost 30 hours in a year. You know, so think of all this time. So I go through my task list and I think, what's all the other shit that other people can do so I can clear my mind? And then I try to narrow it down to 3 to 5 tasks for that day. So if it's more, then I'll prioritize them on red, yellow, and blue. And this 1, 2, 3, it doesn't really fucking matter. Red's the urgent shit. Yellow's the secondary shit. Blue is like, if I ever get around to it type of shit, you know, and that's what I do. And if I can knock out most of that 3 to 5 a day, which I never do, then I'm at least better off. And then the next day, same thing happens all over again, where I delegate, do this, do that. So then that way, that day, I know that the problems that I'm solving are conducive to my goals, because the reason that those tasks are in there to begin with have been deconstructed from where our goal is, which is $10 million cash. And then it goes to this business and that business, and what task do I need to have, and what relationship do I need to have, and what conversation do I need to have, how much equity in a business do I need to have, how much income do I need from another entity to be able to start another business. I think I'm over answering the question, but it's because it's not a 1, 2, 3. It's not a do this, Sean, and everything will change in your world. It's the thought process behind what I'm doing, and so my goal. So what I'm trying to solve is trying to be effective 100% of the time, and then all the decisions that I'm making are to that goal. You know, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And you know, I'll be honest here. I didn't really start thinking on that level when it comes to aligning my goals with what I'm doing every single day and getting that granular with it until like maybe a year ago. And
how old are you? Okay, see, you caught that young. When I was 27, I was living forever. I'm 40. You know, so I think a lot of it is because I'm introspectively. I think like, wait a minute, like this. You know, I'm not as young as I used to be. I you know, I have to value my time more, but I also see other people that are 40 that still act like they're 25, just pissing their life away, you know, just pissing it away, man. You know, and it's sad to say, you know, I mean, hopefully they're happy about it. It doesn't seem like they're happy about it, but if you call them out on them not being happy about it, then I'm the asshole. And I'm like, look, you're the one that's bitching about Monday morning, not me. I'm trying to tell you, you don't have to bitch about that. Oh, and I can't be as lucky as you.
Right, know. Yeah, and okay. that is something that is sad to me. A lot of people who, they're just stuck in something, right? They're mentally stuck in the trap of like, hey, I can't do this for whatever reason, the insecurities, the uncertainty, the anxieties or whatever. And, you know, a copious amount of Netflix and beer or whatever it is that they're doing to just like kind of feel okay about it, right? And that's just to shut down that mind of like, hey, I can actually do this. That's a scary thing for a lot of people to actually come to terms with. And so it's much easier to just hang out and watch Netflix and just show up to your work that you hate. You hate your job, but you come home and
it's like being mediocre is there's 100% success rate if you want to try it. Like if you don't want to have big goals and you don't want to fail to get to where you want to go, it's super easy to succeed. And that's just like set really shitty goals, selfish goals, really selfish, shitty goals. They're just sitting around, not doing anything. You know, I would love, like, if it was just me, and like if I was like Will Smith, you know, right? On like I Am Legend, I would be the guy with the generator playing like PS4, Red Dead Redemption, like all the time, I'd be macking on the mannequins and sure and all that stuff, but it would be all about, you know, that's not how it is. I have love in my life. You know, I want to inspire people. I want my imprint on this world to be more than just space that I filled. You know what I mean? And that's a goal, man. Right. So like knowing that every action I take, why I even do shit like this? I don't have to do this. I don't directly make money from this, nor did you. You didn't pay me for this. I didn't pay you for this, but it's to a degree, there's an appreciation that I have, deeply have, when someone comes to me and says, because I heard you or did this, you've inspired me to do this, thank you. And that's like, finally, my worth, like my crazy life is worth something now because I've empowered somebody.
Yeah,
else.
And that's awesome. I mean, and so like you go through struggles in your business and like solving all these problems and these crazy things that happen in business, but like, I think you are guaranteed, if you go that path of working that career that you hate and you go home and you're watching Netflix just to escape from that, that's a guaranteed struggle right there. That is its own struggle. Do you want to choose a struggle that will get you what you want in your life? Or do you want to choose a struggle that will get you exactly where you don't want to be in your life? It's a struggle either way. So you might as well choose the struggle that will get you to a better place.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Yeah. It's funny you said that too. I just totally wrote a post about that like a month ago or somewhere where it's like, regardless, struggle, it's inevitable. Yeah, I just want to take all that struggle, that 40-year struggle, and compact it into like a really tough 5 years, and then I'm done. You know, then it's like, then I've solved the finances, and I can spend the rest of my life honing on my health and honing on my mind. And I can't wait to meet that guy. Like, I have no idea who that guy's going to be, you know, because then I'm free of like just this one element of why we do what we do. And it's income. And along the way of getting this income, then we do all this other benefits. But that's truly, I'd be curious if I knew that there was no value monetarily for me to do this and expand my personal brand, if I would even be doing podcasts. I don't know. Like, I have no idea. And I want to know that bad. And I want to know that like in the next 5 years.
Yeah, well, so instead of meeting the guy in 5 years who has a giant beer gut, yeah, and hates his job that he still hasn't left, that he says is going to be leaving, yeah, for the past 5 years, and is getting more and more anxious about that. Like, no one listening to this podcast, yeah, wants to meet that person. I know you guys are not that type of person, but like, if that's not a good motivator to push hard, yeah, and really push through those times of suck, then I don't know what the fuck is, man. That scares the shit out of me.
Yeah, I mean, I live good right now, man, and I'm not where I want to be yet. You know, it's like I'm just not there yet. I know, but I know where that B is supposed to be, and it's just, so now it's just a matter of time. Like, it's already decided. Like, I've decided where it's going to be, and now it's just waiting. You know, every time a new decision comes along, it's like, okay, this is the next problem.
Well, Sean, this has been an excellent episode. I just have one more thing that I really want to touch on before we wrap things up here, and you mentioned this a little bit before, yeah, about you're getting a Kickstarter together for a new board game, like Wild West themed board game, and you're a big proponent of creating proprietary, yeah, products that bring some real new value to the, yeah, market. Just tell us a bit about what that whole process is like. I can only imagine what it takes to actually, yeah, design a board game and take it to market and everything like that.
Yeah, well, I think it's not so much just the board game in general, right? I think the whole prospect of it is that I always look to assert value in the marketplace. So it's like, you know, a lot of times people do the Jungle Scout route where they sit there and look at all the different numbers and see, hey, this is what's selling well, so let me go ahead and hop on there as well. And I'm not about that. I'm about, let's solve problems. If you can solve a problem and create a need, you know, like the bigger the problem that you can solve, the way you go. So when we went into a video, or when we went into a board game, we were thinking, okay, what's the market that we want to touch on? Well, we're all a bunch of 35 to 40 year olds. What would we like? You know, and it's like, yeah, we like tabletop games, but we also, like, the average age of PlayStation is not 12 years old. You know what I mean? It's like 20s, 30s is probably a medium age of like 32, 33. You know, it's our generation. I'm growing up with video games. I'm not going to stop playing. It's never a kid thing. They're all mature now and all that stuff. And the board game. Yeah. So we wanted to be able to, thank you. That's a good anchor. Like that's a good anchor. I used to do stand-up comedy, bring me back to the board game. Cause I'm going to just go on a quick tangent. I was a stand-up comedian about 10 years ago. And I would always talk before I got on stage. I'd be like, hey, if I fuck up, just shout out a word of what I just recently said to remind me to bring me back on track, you know? And I used to have like a masturbation joke and I would totally left my mind right in the middle. So then this lady, it's on video somewhere, and this lady just yells out, masturbation! And it just like brings me like right back on track. So I love that people can steer me back to where I'm at. Or sometimes I go on a huge tangent and then I forget what I was saying. I'm like, hey, just make the point for me. And they're like, oh, I think what you're trying to say. But either way, I remember where we're at. The value of the board. So we wanted to create like a tactical combat like board game, right? We wanted something that could appeal to the PlayStation audience yet the board game audience. You know, that was the one. Two, why the Wild West? Why not the Wild West? When has the Wild West not been popular? Like, it's always around. And there's no, like, tell me what tabletop game that is your go-to for Wild West. It just doesn't exist. Yeah, but yet, if I said, what's the best Wild West video game? Red Dead Redemption. You know, name me a country, you know, Western song. Oh, Achy Breaky Heart, Old Town Road. You know, all these other things that just, you know, name me some Wild West movies, Tombstone. You know, all these things just shoot out as like some of the greatest ever that's permeated all audiences. So that's one thing. I want to see how large of an audience can we get and what value can we bring to them. You know, and then from there, when you have that, every layer, every step, every decision is based on solving a problem. You know, like, hey, how does the instruction manual going to look? Well, what are we trying to accomplish here? We want people to be immersed in this. We want them to feel it. So we're not just going to have a piece of paper. We're going to have a booklet. You know, how do we get them engaged to be able to read through this? Well, let's make it look like a comic book. Well, if we're going to make it look like a comic book, why don't we just do a comic? And that's what we're going to do. So we're going to run a comic book series along with the game so people can get immersed and fall in love with these characters and all that. It just never ends, Danny. You know, it's this constant, when you're thinking about value, think about value is that it never saturates. You can always improve and make something better. As humans, that's what we do, yo. Like that literally, like, I look at like an ant, like ants. They can build these amazing ant structures, right? Amazing. We see it all over. Like you can go to Africa and there's these huge ant mound hills. And we're like, whoa, that's amazing. You know, well, they've been building the same goddamn thing for millions of years. In less than 100, some dude tried going like this and couldn't go anywhere. And now I can fly on the other side of the world in less than a day. You know, it's like humans, we are compelled to provide value and to create and innovate. No, we're just, it's within our nature. And that's why when people talk about, is Amazon saturated? They already don't even have the right mindset because they're not even looking to create value. They're looking to piggyback on somebody else's value. And if that's your business model, it's never gonna last. That's why Blockbuster failed. You know, that's why any huge conglomerate, Toys R Us failed. You know, that's why they all started falling down because they stopped at some point creating value. And as the market was shifting online, they didn't think that, hey, let's get on there and let's create something for people. They kept thinking about themselves. Let's create the best experience to drive our customers into the store. And as a result of that, Amazon took maximum advantage of that. And Amazon isn't the best in town. They're the best value in town. It's incredible. I can buy something in the morning and get deodorant 5 hours later. It's crazy. And I'm willing to pay the extra $10 for it. You know, but either way. So value. If there's any one message I could tell people is add value, and you could do that at any level, whether it's RA, OA, wholesale, private label, you can always figure out value. And here's a quick tip on value. If you're following a step-by-step process and filling out the same wholesale email that everyone else is in the same script, you haven't added any value. And now you're just going to be the next guy that's just sending out additional. I get it all the time. I get people pitching me wholesale stuff all the time. And the only people that ever capture my attention are the ones that are able to exhibit value. And that's because they identified a need that I had and they were able to solve it successfully. And that's what compels me to do business with them.
Well, Sean, you certainly provided the audience a lot of value in this podcast here. The mindset stuff here that we talked about is incredibly valuable. And in my opinion, much more valuable than all these like hack trickery, Amazon tactics and stuff like that are hot 1 month and then not the next, right? So this is stuff that is resilient to whatever kind of business you're going to be operating in the future, whatever kind of projects you're going to be working on. The stuff that you provided with us today is incredibly valuable. And so, Sean, where can people reach out to you or learn more about you online?
Sure. You can hit me up at D-Bag Life on Facebook, and then that takes you to my professional page. That's probably the best bet. I don't really do. I'm a really shitty guru, man. I don't really have a website. I don't really do that stuff. I'm kind of this word of mouth, slinking around, pissing people off in different groups. And along the way, I've had a following of these people that just have gotten past the superficiality of how people define me and realize that I do have a lot of things to offer. And then they get the world. So they give it at D-Bag Life. You can book a time with me. You can message me. I don't give a shit. You can find me on AMZ, FBA, Amazon Rockstars, or whatever the name is, the Rockstar Group. I'm very prolific in there. I do a lot of prolific in there. I do a lot of videos in there. Find me, and I'm available.
Awesome, Sean. Well, thank you so much for coming on here. Really appreciate it. And guys, if you want the show notes for this episode, head to actualizefreedom.com. You can check it out, all the resources and links mentioned here. And until next time, guys, if you haven't already, leave us a review on iTunes. Really appreciate it. Only 5-star reviews, though. I want to be super biased here. So just leave me only 5-star reviews. If you leave a 1-star review, get out of here. Just shut off this podcast. Just stop listening and go home. Okay, 5-star reviews. Thank you very much. See you guys next time. This podcast is sponsored by the Helium 10 suite of tools. And we at Kenji ROI have been using Helium 10 for more than 3 years now. They have so many tools packed into one, I don't think that there's a better value. And we use it all the time for ourselves and our clients, so we can actually recommend it from real experience. We use their keyword tracker to see how our product launches are doing, the keyword indexing tool to ensure that you're actually showing up for your main keywords. Super, super important step right there. And also Magnet and Cerebro, a really powerful combination for finding keywords your competitors are using or just finding new keywords to put into your listing in general. You should be using this on, at least a monthly basis to see if any new keywords are coming up, because new searches are coming up all the time, guys. Like, people are searching on Google. I forget the number, but a huge percentage of those searches are brand new, never been done searches. So if you guys want a discount code, you can use 50 Kenji ROI for 50% off your first month with Helium 10, or 10 Kenji ROI for 10% off for life. So that's a pretty good discount. You might as well. We use them and recommend them for years. So if you guys need that, you guys will definitely get good value out of Helium 10.
For show notes and resources mentioned in this episode, visit KenjiROI.com.